We're turning tonight to the portion of God's Word that hymn is written about, the book of Isaiah, chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter 1. We're reading at the opening verse of the chapter. Let me begin reading as you continue to look it up. Isaiah chapter 1 and the verse number 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Will ye revolt more and more? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises, and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of your God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. And I delight not in the blood of bullocks, or of lambs, or of he-goats. When ye come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts? Bring no more vain obligations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even as the solemn meeting. Your new moons, your appointed feasts, my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. We'll end our reading at the end of the 20th verse. With the word of God before us open, let's unite in prayer and pray for God to speak and for God to help in this house tonight. O God, our loving Father, we bow before thee humbly and reverently. We come to confess our great weakness. We come to confess our abject poverty. We are aware, O God, that there is within us no good thing. We're aware, dear Father, that we need thy presence. We need the infilling of the Holy Ghost for any prophet to be brought to the souls of men and women who are lost in their sin and who need their sins to be washed in the blood of Christ. Come, O God, we pray, into this house in a very particular way. Grant, O God, thy speaking voice. Help me as I preach. And grant, O God, glory to be brought alone to the man at thy right hand, the man Christ Jesus. Answer prayer, for we offer these our petitions in and through Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. The Singaporean resort island of Sentosa this week hosted the much anticipated meeting between the President of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump, and the North Korean leader, Kim Jong-un. And the agenda was the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, as well as the lifting of economic sanctions imposed upon North Korea by the United States of America. The world's media hyped the meeting of the two leaders as a chance to establish peace in the Far East with a normalization of relationship between North America and North Korea, a relationship that has had its ups and downs. On Saturday the 9th of June, Donald Trump described the summit as a mission of peace, but said that the two leaders were in unknown territory in the truest of sense. What will become of the discussions and the agreements that were made on Tuesday past? Only time will tell. But in a turbulent world, a world that goes from one political crisis to the next, a world in which we are presently experiencing 40 different conflicts, peace continues to be the elusive holy grail that world governments strive after and search for in their attempts to bring an end to conflict and military confrontation upon and on this planet. Now, the world's conflicts have not come about because of the political aspirations of some so-called freedom fighters. They haven't come about as a desire to be freed from the shackles of some oppressive political regime. They haven't come about because of pressures that have come into a nation or in a region because of famine or some other natural disaster, although some claim that these are the reasons why we have the world's conflicts. But the ultimate reason why tonight wars are presently taking place in this world is because the heart of man is full of sin. And the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You see, tonight the conflicts that rage on the battlefields of the world are only but the outworking of the conflict that exists within the human heart between the sinner and its maker. And yet, despite that hostility between God and the sinner, God in the gospel comes to the sinner and invites that sinner to reason with him. I want you to mark the invitation that God gives to the sinner in the verse number 6:18 of this particular chapter. It forms our text for this evening. God says to the sinner, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." I want us to look at these words. I want to preach a message that I've simply entitled, God's Peace Conference with the Sinner. God's Peace Conference with the Sinner. And noting God's Peace Conference with the Sinner, I want you to note, first of all, the host of the Peace Conference. The host of the peace conference. Now, it was the Singaporean government that hosted this much anticipated meeting between Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un on Tuesday past. But what can be said of the host of this peace conference between holy God and sinful man? Well, in relation to the host, I want you to note firstly with me his identity. His identity. Note the words of our text. "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord." Saith the Lord. The host of the peace conference between God and man is divine, for the host is given this title, the Lord. This is none other than Jehovah. This is the Almighty. This is the creator and the maker and the sustainer of all things. This is the self-existent. This is the self-sufficient. This is the self-satisfied God. This is the one who knows all things about the sinner. This is the one who has seen all that the sinner has done. This is the one who has heard all that the sinner has said. This is the one who has full knowledge of all that the sinner has ever thought in their lives, who has been present every time that the sinner has sinned ever in their lives, and yet aware of every detail within the sinner's life, God still issues the call to the sinner to come and to reason with him. Now you'll understand by what I've already said about the host of this peace conference between God and man, you will understand that the host and the invited guests do not come as equals to this peace conference. They do not come as equals. How could they? One has been greatly and eternally and deeply offended by the other individual. I'm told that the meeting that took place on Tuesday past, I'm told that the hotel that hosted that particular meeting between the American and North Korean leaders, they had to have two identical walkways in order that both men walked to greet each other at the exact same time. Neither leader was wanted to be seen to be waiting on the other. They wanted to meet at the exact same time, walking in the same walkway, coming from opposite directions, because each man wanted to be treated and be seen as an equal. But folks, that never happens when it comes to this conference, this place of reasoning between God and man. You as a sinner, you never come to the table as an equal, but rather you meet on God's terms. It is God who sets the agenda for this gathering between himself and the sinner. Now, it is a wonderful thing, sinner, to think that God in the gospel would want to meet with you. Though you've sinned against him, though you've offended him time without end, though you've spurned him and rejected him on many an occasion, he still tonight would want to reason with you in the gospel. But as you come to meet him in the gospel, you must become terribly aware that you do not meet him as an equal. You do not meet him as an equal because you have offended him. Your sin has offended him, and therefore what he requires from you in order to be reconciled to him must be done by him, by you. You must meet on God's terms, because it's only on his terms that peace with God can be secured. Now, we live in a world where there are individuals and they are consumed with their own self-importance. They think themselves to be some great individual, but the sinner in the gospel needs to realize something that Job himself realized in Job 33 in the verse 12. You'll have to realize as a sinner that God is greater than man. God is greater than man. God is greater than you. And what he therefore declares is what you need to submit to. And when he says for you to repent and believe the gospel, that is what God requires of you, because God is greater than man. You must meet God on his terms. If ever there is to be reconciliation, it's going to be on God's terms. He sets the agenda. Understand that, sinner. You do not come to bargain with God. You don't come, as it were, to put God's arm up his back with respect to salvation. No, you meet on his terms. You meet with his agenda in place. And so, that being the case, it is God alone who determines how the sinner is reconciled to God. The host of this conference is Jehovah, the great I Am. And yet he would have you to reason with him. But having identified the host and his identity, something else about the host, I want you to notice the invitation that he extends to the sin-stained sinner. I to you that are sin-stained, to you that are sin-burdened tonight, God issues the following gracious invitation. Come and let us reason together. Come and let us reason together. Now I want you to notice that the invitation, it comes from God to man. Not the other way about. It is not that man, the sinner, understands himself to be estranged from God, to be alienated from God, and therefore as a result of that, the sinner comes to God and says, God, come and reason with me. But rather, it is God directed. It is God issued. The proposition comes exclusively from God to man. And surely that is a piece of pure condescension on the part of the Almighty for the sinner to reason with him. You see, God's law, that law that you have broken time and time again, that law would say to you, depart. For you have broken the law. Like that Mount Sinai, there was a barrier, there was a place whereby the sinner, the children of Israel, could go no further. There was a limit placed around Mount Sinai whereby they could not approach on to God. It was saying to the sinner, depart. Your sin causes you to depart. Because of sin, you must depart from a holy God. But instead of the law, here we have the one saying to us, who by the law and by the law and truth came Jesus Christ, we find the invitation to come. Not depart, but to come. Come is one of God's favorite words. And it is one of his most precious words when it comes to his dealing with the sinner. He does not say to the sinner, stand still and wait. But rather he says, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And I'm not going to list the many comes that we have in the scriptures. But I'm sure you've heard of many of them. The comes of God. He would invite you to come. What an invitation. So let me pause just for a moment. Let me ask you, have you ever come to Jesus Christ? Have you ever come to the Savior just as you are? With all your sin, with all the burden of sin and the guilt of sin and the shame of sin and the misery of sin, have you ever come to Christ? Have you ever been saved from your sins? It is the King of Kings. It is the Lord of Lords that extends the invitation to come. But will you accept the invitation? Have you accepted it? Or is tonight, and does tonight find you happy to linger on in your sin? Or that tonight you would come. Come to the Savior before you hear him say, depart. Depart. The invitation. The identity of the host. But having thought just briefly about the host of the peace conference, I want you to think with the guests that are welcome to the peace conference. Now, if God is the host of the conference, who is the other party that is identified in that personal pronoun, us? Did you notice it? Come now and let us reason together. Who is the others that make up the other part of us? Well, I believe that God is one of the parties, but the other party on the other side of the table, as it were, is none other than the individuals that are spoken of within this very chapter of God's precious word. And what a picture is painted for us by the Holy Spirit to the guests that God invites to reason with Him. I want you to notice a number of things about the ones who are invited to reason with God. I want you to mark, first of all, that they were rebellious. They were rebellious. God said of those whom He would reason with were those that had rebelled against Him. Notice the verse number 2 and the closing words. They have rebelled against me. They have rebelled against me. Now, did they have any just cause for doing so? That's the question. Did they have a reason for rebelling against God? Did God give them grounds upon which He should be treated in such a manner? Well, notice the words in the verse number 2 again. He says, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. You know, as I read this scripture tonight, just before I came out, I thought of many a family in this congregation. And you brought up your children, and you nourished them. But you know what has happened? They've rebelled against you. They've rebelled against you. But this is God speaking. So God knows what has happened in your home. He's fully aware of what it is to have children rebelling against Him, even though they have nourished, even though He had nourished them, even though he had brought up those children, did their best for the children, yet they rebelled against Him. God knows what it is to have rebellious children in His family. Maybe you're a backslider, and this is you. Have you not rebelled against God? God has nourished you. God has brought you up. God has been gracious and kind to you. But what have you done? You have rebelled against God. These were individuals that God had showered blessing upon blessing upon, giving them their daily bread and provided for all of their needs. And yet in spite of that, in spite of His kindness and His goodness to them, they rebelled against God. Now before you sit in this house and condemn such a people, I want to remind you, sinner, that you have done exactly the same. God has been good to you. You sit in this house tonight in your right mind and with reasonable health. Your belly is full of food. You have a home to go back to, home tonight, a bed to sleep upon. You have a family who care for you, and you have at least a church family who prays for your soul. But what have you done with God's goodness? What have you done with God's blessing in your life? Instead of yielding to Him, instead of submitting and surrendering your life to Him, you have rebelled against Him, and you have lived for sin and self. Tonight finds you just like these people, rebellious against God. But isn't it an amazing thing to think that God would say to such a people, come now and let us reason together. Though you've rebelled against me, though you've despised my goodness, though as it were you've spat in my face, after me showering upon you blessing after blessing, yet despite it all, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. They were not only rebellious, but they were provocative. They were provocative. God said of these people in the verse number 4, "Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, and they have provoked the Holy One of Israel on to anger. They are gone away backward." The language used here in verse number 4 is certainly not politically correct, but it is correct nonetheless. He speaks of them as those that were sinful, laden with iniquity, evildoers, corruptors. And by living such a life, it had caused God to be provoked. They had provoked Him to anger. They had stirred up His anger against them. He would have shown them mercy. He would have shown them kindness. He would have been gracious to them. But instead of that, by living in sin and by provoking God, they had stirred up his anger against them. Such was their lies. Their sinful lies were provocative to a holy God. And I tell you, sinner, your life provokes God to anger. Your life of sin, your waywardness, your living for self, your living for sin. So abhorrent is your sin to God that it provokes the holy and righteous anger of God. And yet, is it not amazing? Is it not amazing that though they had provoked him with such sin, by living such sinful lives, is it not an amazing thing to think that God would reason with such people? That he would say to them, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. What grace, what long suffering, aye, and what restraint on the part of God to, instead of destroying them, to say, come, let us reason together. They were rebellious, they were provocative. Thirdly, they were contaminated. As God looks upon the people of Isaiah's day, he gives the following diagnosis concerning them in the verse 5 and the verse number 6. The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Every thought, every action, every word had been polluted by their sin. Every mental capacity had been fully and wholly depraved. Every part of the human constitution was polluted. This is how God sees the children of Judah in his day. And sinner, it's no different. It's no different as he looks into this house tonight. Tonight, what he has is you on the operating table. He has you on the operating table. Sinner, he finds you there in the operating table of this gospel meeting. And there the great physician, he takes the scalpel off his word. And he's going to prise away that religious facade that you come into God's house with. And as he does so, he's going to reveal to you your true state and your true standing before God. And what a revelation it is. None doing good, no, not one. The whole head sick, the whole heart faint. Every power, every faculty of the human breast has been disordered and distorted and been defiled by sin. The contamination is entire. Every part of the being, not one part, has been left untouched by sin from the soul to the crown of the head. And yet, despite the contamination that exists, a holy God would say to you, this contaminated sinner, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. What I'm trying to show you, and what I trust the Spirit of God is showing you, is that the people to whom this gracious invitation was addressed to were in a terrible condition. In actual fact, they couldn't have been in a worse condition. They were almost ready to die. The disease was going to take them into God's eternity. They could have been in no worse condition than what they find themselves in. These individuals have provoked God by the multitude of their sins. Now God had chastened them. God had tried to win them, but they continued to go on. They continued to stay in sin. It never moved them to repent of their iniquities. And yet it was to such people that God gave the invitation, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Here you are in this house, rebellious, contaminated, provocative, your life because of sin. yet he would say to you, come and let us reason together. Now the third timing concerning the truth from our text, it is the timing of the peace conference. We understand that Tuesday past had been penciled in for quite some time with respect to the meeting of the President of the United States and the leader of North Korea. You see, for the forging of any peace deal, there is a window of opportunity. And that window of opportunity, it must be seized upon if peace is to be secured. While the sinner would want the conference to happen tomorrow between them and God, while you, the sinner, would want the conference to happen between you and God sometime in the future, yeah, and maybe there's someone here tonight and you would never even desire that conference between God and you to ever take place. God says that the conference must happen now. Come now. Now. And let us reason together. Why now? Why not at some future? Why not at some later date? Now for many reasons. Now because we're only guaranteed it now. And God would say to all, preacher included, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth now, because the heart may become hardened. The possibility of peace forever gone. So God would say today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now, because none of us know when the eastern skies will break. The Son of God will return in clouds of glory. Therefore, God would say to you, therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh now. Because God has decreed in his word that now is accepted time. Behold, now is a day of salvation. And see, a friend, God would have you to live. To live no longer in your sin. He would have you to be an enemy no longer. No longer an enemy of him. Now, this night, this meeting, this moment, this hour. Now. Now, or it may be forever too late. Now. Now to have the matter of the soul forever settled. Now. I'm sure you've all heard the statement, there's no time like the present. And no truer adage could there be when it comes to getting right with God. Literally, there is no time like the present. Because that is the time that you're only guaranteed. Present time. Tomorrow may be too late. And 1,000 unforeseen circumstances and events may inhibit you from trusting Christ at some future date. So the time to meet God and to reason with him with respect to salvation is now. This night. This night. The 17th of June 2018. Now. Then I want you to see the reasoning within the peace conference. Within our text, God invites the sinner to reason together with him. Now this word reason, it denotes the kind of argumentation that occurs within a court of justice. I trust you've never been in a court of justice, but if you have, you'll understand what we're speaking about here. Two parties come into the courtroom, and each opposing parties within a legal case, they're given the opportunity to present their case. They're able to state either their complaint or their defense with respect to the case that is to hand. That is the word with respect to reasoning. In the previous verses, God has, as we have seen, God has made bare. God is recorded the charge sheet of sin against the people of Israel. He's presented to them in clear and unambiguous, the clear and unambiguous evidence that they're guilty. They're guilty of these sins that are spoken of in our text. These sins that are scarlet. These sins that are like crimson. God has spoken of them. The charge sheet has been read by God. Now it's their turn. Now it's their turn to try and defend themselves. Now it's their turn to try and to plead their innocence with respect to those sins. There's a time to reason. You see, reason is involved when it comes to our dealings with God. But the thing is that sinners are found to be the most unreasonable beings when it comes to the matters of eternal importance. Because, sinner, is it not true that this preacher, for many years now, or at least a number of years, this preacher, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, has attempted to reason with you. Has attempted to reason with you about the matter of salvation, but yet to date, it has been to no avail. Your parents have tried to reason with you, but it has fallen on deaf ears. Your saved loved ones have endeavored to reason with you about the matter of your soul's salvation, but they have failed to convince you. A Christian friend, a work colleague has patiently reasoned with you about salvation, but you have resented even the discussions with respect to those matters. Yet thank God, for every other human being has failed, the God of heaven can succeed. Because whenever he reasons with you, sinner, do you know what conclusion you come to? You come to this conclusion: it is an unreasonable thing for me to stay in my sin. It is an unreasonable thing that I continue to defy the very God of heaven. It is unreasonable for me to stay outside the remit of God's grace and to miss out of all blessings that are in Christ Jesus. It is unreasonable for me to stay in my sin and miss heaven, because that's what you'll do. In staying in your sin, you'll miss heaven. What an unreasonable thing. But then, sinner, you're an unreasonable being. You are an unreasonable being. You see, tonight, God is willing to reason with you. He's willing to converse with you. You see, you may reason with God tonight and you may say, God, I'm too young to be a Christian. But God, in turn, and in response, would reason to you, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You may say, God, I'm too busy to be a Christian. But God, in response, would say, know ye not what shall be on the morrow? For what is your life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You may say, God, I'm too bad to be a Christian. But in response, God would reason with you and say, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You may say, God, I'm too long in my sin to be a Christian. But God, in response, would say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You may say to God, I have too much to lose to be a Christian. But God would say in response to you, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You may say to God, I've missed my opportunity to be saved. But in response, God would reason with you, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Sinner, let reason prevail tonight. Allow those powers of reason that God has invested you with, and God has given you reason, It is a gift of God, part of the human constitution. Use the very reason that God has given you and let that reason convince you that the road of sin that you're presently on is not the right road. Let reason convince you of that. And having been convinced of that, then turn to Christ. I implore every man, every woman, every young person, every boy or girl, I implore you, if you know not Christ, I implore you to do one thing. Think. 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 Think seriously about the eternal welfare of your soul. And enter into saving and covenant relationship with Jesus Christ tonight. Man, would you not think? Would you not think tonight, woman, about where you're going to be if you die in your sin? Reason. Reason it out. Reason it out on the basis of Scripture. He will condescend to reason with you. Oh, may his reasoning result in your repenting. May his reasoning with you result in your repenting. Very quickly, the outcome of the peace conference. Those who have committed sins of deepest dye, those who have come to see them as such, through the reasoning with God, those who are willing to repent of them, those who would have those sins cleansed, or those who have the scarlet sins washed and the crimson iniquities cleansed. Though your sins be as scarlet, our text says they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Crimson sins are met by the crimson blood and washed away. Crimson sins are met by the crimson blood. You see, the outcome of the reasoning process with God is that the sinner will take their rightful place as the sinner. The sinner will recognize that sin must be dealt with for the satisfaction of God, and thereby peace, peace with God is the outcome of this peace conference. Because you see, what eludes world governments does not elude God when it comes to deal with the repenting sinner. Peace is secured through the blood of his cross. And surely, sinner, is that not what you desire tonight? Do you not desire those crimson sins to be cleansed? Do you not desire them to be made as white as wool? Do you not desire those sins that are as scarlet to be made as white as snow? Is that not your desire? It ought to be. E. Howard Cadell lived in the years of between the years of 1884 and 1942. He was converted to Jesus Christ after having lived a wicked and sinful life. And he was converted to Christ as a result of this very text, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. He was the black sheep of four in the family, four children within a Christian family. He started to drink at the age of 12. He became addicted to alcohol. He became addicted to gambling and to sexual adultery. He became what was known as the slot machine king of much of the Midwest of America because of his gambling enterprises. He attempted even to murder a man, only narrowly escaping jail. After having lived such a lifestyle, broken in finances and health, he finally hit rock bottom, returned to his home, his godly home, And as he turned back to his home, and as he found himself on the steps of that house, he collapsed into his mother's arms and he says, "Mother, I'm tired of sin." He says, "I've broken your heart." He says, "I've betrayed my wife. I've broken my marriage vows." He said to his mother, "I'd like to be saved, but I've sinned too much." His mother replied with these words, "Son, I've prayed for you for 12 years to hear just what you have just said to me." Getting out her Bible, she turned to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. And she read it to her young boy. "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." That young man took God at his word. And on the 14th of March, 1914, E. Howard Cadell was converted. After his conversion, he became a popular evangelist and radio preacher in the United States of America. Sir, madam, it is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he can do for you. And even tonight, if you feel in this house that your sins are as scarlet, and tonight if you feel that they are red like crimson, thank God they can be cleansed and they can be forgiven. May they be so on your turning from them and receiving Christ into your life. So reason with God tonight. He will reason with you. And as you do so, you will find, sinner, that the most reasonable thing for you to do is to turn from sin and to trust in him. May tonight that be your testimony. May tonight you be saved. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. The invitation is directed to you tonight. God would say to you, "Come now. Sinner, will you come now? Will you come tonight? Will you come this moment? How do I come? Just as you are." Cried from the depths of the soul, "Lord, save me. I'm the sinner. I'm the one with scarlet sins. I'm the one with crimson stains. Lord, that's me. But Lord, save me. I'm coming now. Coming now to thee. Wash me, cleanse me in thy blood that flows from Calvary." And I tell you, sinner, he'll take you in. If I can help, if I can assist in any way, please speak to me at the door. We do not like to cajole. We do not like to try and engineer circumstances. We just invite you to come, and you must take the step. You must come. You must come to him. Oh, may you come to Christ. Make your need known at the door, and we'll be glad to speak to you about these important and eternal matters. O God, our loving Father, we thank thee that salvation is a most reasonable thing. We rejoice that God deals with us reasonably. O God, though we deserve judgment and hell the very moment we sin, yet, Father, thou hast been reasonable in dealing with us. Thou hast been merciful and kind and gracious and patient. O God, we pray that the sinner would come to themselves as the prodigal did, that they would use those powers of reason as they come to the Scripture. Oh, that they would see themselves for what they are, but yet see Christ for what, for who He is. Oh God, tonight we pray that sinners would come to have their sin stains washed in the crimson tide. Answer prayer. Bring glory to Thy name. Answer the prayers of a daughter, a son, a mother, a father, a friend. The Lord be pleased to bring glory to Thy name, for we pray these our prayers in and through the wondrous name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen and amen. Thank you.